If you want to open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, we're going to get there eventually. But we, all throughout the New Testament, there is the prayers of Paul. And if you just Google the prayers of the Apostle Paul, there's all these scripture verses that come up. And they start with, I pray. Right off the bat, the Apostle Paul says, I pray. And what the word pray or prayed means in the Greek is a sense of closeness, face to face, the act of drawing near to God and passionately petitioning him to perform a specific act. He said, I pray. And then he lists these specific things for specific people. And we have the privilege of taking these prayers and praying to our God face to face, passionately petitioning God with specific requests for specific people. And we will get the same result as the Apostle Paul. We know that we can remind God of his word and of his promises when we pray. We're instructed to pray his word. Amen. Amen. So as Paul said, I pray, we can say, I am drawing near to God. I am petitioning him according to his word to perform his promises. Amen. So that's what we're doing when we're praying. We are drawing near to God. We are petitioning him according to his word to perform his promises. So that's why we pray the word, and we pray the word specifically. And as we started out in this series, we hit some topical, we sectioned them off in topics, right? We started with thanking. Paul starts with thanking, prayers of thanksgiving, praying for opportunity for ministry and success. This is the prayers that we have. You know, we don't need any other. I love to read. I love to read all different kinds of books on leadership and anything I can get my hands on. But there's no better tool than the word of God if we want to have a successful life. Amen? Amen. So we pray the word of God. And something the Holy Spirit has really just put on my heart is to be intentional. That word intentional came up a few times as I was listening to different teachings and different things. I kept on hearing that word intentional, and I looked it up, and it says, done with purpose and deliberate. So when we pray, when we are saying, I pray, I'm drawing near to you, God, I'm petitioning you, we are being intentional when we take a scripture verse for a specific situation, speaking over a specific person, a specific challenge, whatever it might be, we are being intentional in our prayers. And when we become intentional, our prayers will be effective. Amen? And this word intentional can carry over to our prayer, but the words that we're speaking after we make our petitions, you know, we don't want to uproot the seed of the prayers that we're praying by speaking negative words. And that starts with being intentional in our time thoughts. You know, we all can do it. You know, you have a ride to work. Some of you may drive 7 minutes to work. Thank you, Jesus. And some of you may drive longer. But in that 7 minutes, my mind can just wander. And I have to be intentional in my thoughts. What have I been thinking about? Because it's in my thoughts. If I'm not intentional in my thoughts, I'm not going to be intentional in my words. And then I'm not going to be intentional in my prayers. Amen. So I want to turn tonight to Ephesians chapter 1. And as I mentioned, we started talking about the prayers of Paul within topics. So right now, this next topic is going to be a 5 points talking about for increased knowledge of. So we're going to go over 5 things in this portion of scripture that we can ask the Lord to increase our knowledge of something. And why we're doing this is so that when we pray, we know what we're asking for. So that we have the correct expectation. You know, it's not just pulling out a prize out of the Cracker Jack box and not knowing what we're going to get. When we're praying intentionally, now we're going to expect it so that when we see it, we recognize it and we take hold of it. Amen? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And I said there's going to be 5 points under this for an increase of knowledge. We're going to talk about increase of knowledge of the Lord, increase of knowledge of his will, increase of knowledge of the hope of his calling, increase of knowledge of the riches we have, and increased knowledge of his power. I want to start with increase of knowledge of the Lord. And this verse says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So we can pray that we ourselves come to know God better. Amen? And we could pray this specifically. Paul was praying for the church that they would come to know the Lord better. So the word wisdom means seeing and knowing truth. It sees the answers to the problems of life and desires the deeper things of God. That's what the spirit of wisdom is here. And this wisdom is available to us through Christ Jesus as we search after him with all of our hearts. It's a spirit of wisdom. It's a spirit. It's part of us that reaches out to grasp after this wisdom. It hungers and thirsts for the wisdom. And this is an attribute of the Holy Spirit's power, spirit of wisdom, so that we can know what and how. And this is about knowing something that is and what is behind something. But to sum up wisdom for this verse specifically is about wisdom in knowing God. It's about knowing God deeper. It's a spirit of wisdom to know him more. And the word know is about a personal relationship with God. It's not just a slender piece of our knowledge of the Lord. That's what salvation is. Even the world has a slender knowledge of what God is, who God is, what God can possibly do. That's a slender piece of knowledge. I thought of it today as an iceberg. You know, you just see the tip of the iceberg. And that may be what when people hear about salvation and coming to know Christ. And as we go deeper, think about what's underneath the water, it goes wider and it's deeper. And there's depth. There's so much depth to God, which is why we can have how many translations of the scripture, how many books, how many commentaries, because there's depth to the word of God. We can go deeper in the knowledge of God. And what Paul is praying here is saying, I pray that you have a spirit of wisdom to know more. We should always be ever increasing in our knowledge of God. And that comes through firsthand relationship with God. That doesn't come from just hearing pastor on a Sunday morning or coming to Bible study on a Wednesday night. This is a knowledge that's between you and God. This is that firsthand knowledge of God, opening up the scriptures one-on-one with the Lord. And that's what's available to all of us. God doesn't want us to just stay at the tip of the iceberg. He's saying, I want you to get to the depths of my love and the depths of my knowledge. Because once we have that and gain that deeper understanding that is intimate, that is close, that is greater than just that slender piece, it's so that we have the knowledge to grasp the facts about God and the wisdom to use them. It's not just to have all this knowledge. Knowledge is wonderful. Knowledge is great. The wisdom now takes it to the next level. And now what do we do with this? So once we gain knowledge of God, grasp a knowledge of God, it should bring a change in our life. Once we gain that knowledge, it then will affect us. Amen? So we have the knowledge of God, and God is saying, I want to take you down deeper into the word. So that what? Not just to gain more knowledge, not to say, I've read this book, I've done this, I've heard this. We got to put it into that action, but it should change our lives. As Paulie said, the love of God here should affect us. Amen? When you know that God is a loving God, you know his character and nature, you're secure. Amen? When we know that God's a healer, that puts into action that we trust him when we need a healing. When we know, okay, God, you said, your word says, I know that you are a provider. Now that brings something to our life. That God will provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. So this prayer is for a deeper understanding to know God. And then how do we now use that information? We don't want to just leave the information standing still. We need to use the information. Amen. So when we pray this prayer for ourselves or for someone else, it's activating a spirit of wisdom. It's activating a hunger in a heart to read the word of God. And then not just to read the word of God, because that's the knowledge. But now it's the wisdom to take that knowledge and have it affect our daily life. Amen? So that's what we're praying for, increased knowledge of the Lord. And in Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it says, we have not ceased to pray for you, that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. How do we do that? The next part of the verse says, increasing in the knowledge of God. We're not going to be able to walk in a manner that's pleasing our Lord unless we start increasing in that knowledge. But the increase of knowledge equips us to walk worthy of the Lord. Amen. He doesn't just expect us to, you know, we say this a lot. I wouldn't have expected my 3-year-old to drive a car, although Nico probably thought he could. do that when he was three, but he didn't have the knowledge. Once he has the knowledge to do it, now I expect him to act his age. The next is increased knowledge of God's will. So we pray for increased knowledge of the Lord in our life, and then we use that information that we've gained. And now we're going to talk about praying for the increased knowledge of God's will. This is in Philippians. If you want to turn there, I'm reading from, this is the NIV translation, 1, 9, and 10. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what's best. To discern what's best is to know the will of God. We all need this in every area of our life, every detail, to discern, to know the will of God. Discerning what's best comes from knowledge and insight. Knowledge and insight come from a place of love in God. So it first stems from our love for God, it says, so your love may abound more and more. So discerning, when we're discerning something in ourself, we're not, you know, being judging or critical, right? We're discerning. See, the love of God does not put on mom goggles. I always say Pastor Carolyn has mom goggles for me, and she does, and I know it, and I say that. But mom goggles don't see error, right? When we're moms, we never want to think it's our kid that's the bad one on the playground, right? I knew it was my kid. If anybody was here when Anthony was in Sunday school, at 3.5 years old, the pastor's grandson got kicked out of children's church, and the whole church knew it because his number was up there every Sunday multiple times. I could not have mom goggles on and hid his disciplinary needs at the time. But that's a story for another time. But discernment and discerning and having knowledge and insight, I felt that the Holy Spirit was really trying to point me in the direction here about discerning when something needs to be changed, knowing the will of God when something needs a course correction. And so many times we don't do it in our family or even with ourselves because we're like, well, God doesn't judge and God doesn't criticize. No, but God corrects. The Bible says that in Hebrews 12 that God's love for us disciplines us. He disciplines those he loves. So if you are a parent, and if there is something that you're discerning in your home or in your marriage or something's just not right and you feel it, you start to discern it, judge it by the word of God. Not judgmental, not critical, but we judge it by the word of God and the love of God. See, when we correct in love, a positive change comes. If you're not seeing a positive change, then first we ask ourselves, Lord, did I correct this in love first? And then are we dealing with a spirit of rebellion or a spirit that's, you know, causing an uprising? But first, the Holy Spirit taught me first to check my heart first. Was I discerning in love and correcting in love? Because as I do that, then change should start to take place. Amen? Does everybody get that, what I'm trying to say there about discerning the will of God in a situation? Because I really felt that that's how the Holy Spirit wanted us to go about this portion of Scripture. When we discern what is best. What is best, what is right for your family right now? What is best, what is right in your home right now? What is best, what is right? That's the will of God. How do we know the will of God? It must line up with the word of God. If something you're discerning is off and it's not lining up with the word of God, it needs a course correction. That's not being judgmental and that's not being critical. It's just seeing the fruit and matching it up to the word. Is it a fruit that matches the word of God? If not, then it does need to be addressed. Amen? Yes. Amen. So I say that with love, because we all need course correction. Amen? Yes. Amen. The next one is for increased knowledge, number 3, of the hope of his calling. And when I saw this today, now these, I said, we started this back in February, but when I saw this today, I saw like this, the Holy Spirit make a connection between the hope of his calling and the next one is the riches that we have. So let's talk about this a little bit. This is back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. So we can pray to know and have knowledge of the hope of God's calling on our lives. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, the definition of the word hope is complete certainty, expectation, trust, confidence. So that's what we're to have. But the question is, hope in what? What are we praying for, right? We're being intentional of our prayers. So what exactly are we asking for hope in? This says hope of his calling. So now this is an invitation. And any time in the New Testament, it was always about a divine call. So this is the call of the invitation of God to walk in salvation. This is the invitation of God to be a part of his family. This is the invitation of God to walk in and possess the inheritance that he has given us. So that you come to the hope of his calling. This is the certainty that God is inviting you into salvation. And not only just that, but all that salvation is. That you would know the certainty that you are walking in the fullness of God and in his inheritance. Amen? So that's what the invitation is too. So we can have a hope of his calling, which is an invitation of his inheritance that we have. And in 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says a security deposit to guarantee the fulfillment of his promise is the Holy Spirit. So the fulfillment of the promise is eternal life. But we have that deposit in us that is already the Holy Spirit. Amen? And this is going to roll right into number 4. And it says, the next part, it says, of the riches we have. Because the riches of God's glory is part of our inheritance. So when we know the hope of God's calling, when we have a certainty, when we have a confident trust that God has called us into his family, now what does that mean? Now that means we have richness of his inheritance. Amen? So what does that mean to you? The richness of inheritance is all the promises of God. See, this is about our position in God's family. And not only that, but it's about how God sees us. God sees us as his family, as his heritage. When I was studying this, the Holy Spirit brought back to my remembrance something my grandfather had said. We were all around the family, and he said, I'm a rich man. Now, I have my grandfather's most prized possession in my hand, and when I show it to you, you'll see that he meant rich because of the love of his family. But we were his heritage. We are his heritage. Right? So that's how God views us. Right? We have a seat at the table next to our Heavenly Father. We are part of his family tree. Think about that for a moment. You may not be connected to an earthly family. And maybe it is because you stepped over into the family of God. And I believe that this is for someone tonight. And that the Lord is wanting you to know you have a heritage. You are part of his heritage. And you possess an inheritance. Who's that for tonight? That knowledge of knowing. Just raise your hand if that's you, because we're going to pray this verse in a moment. That you have a heritage. You are his heritage. You belong to God. When God sees you, he says, there's my legacy being walked out. There's my children. Think about that. When my grandfather looked around that room and said, this is my heritage. I'm a rich man. That's what your Heavenly Father says when he sees you. This is my legacy. This is my heritage. So if that's you right now, I'm going to pray this verse, simple. We're just going to declare it out, like the Apostle Paul prayed in the name of Jesus right now. We're going to say, I pray in the name of Jesus that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. You have an inheritance. See, so my grandfather, I'm his heritage, but I have his inheritance right here in my hand. This is his inheritance. But when you think of, and it is hysterical, and my uncle, the day we said goodbye to my grandfather, he could have given me $10 million or this watch. And this watch to me is priceless. So my grandfather was a big Giants fan, and this is a plastic watch that he, I think, got from the back of the Reader's Digest when you used to, like, fill those out and mail them in. And it has the Tasmanian devil on it. And he wore this every day. Every day. Two weddings, two funerals. This was his watch. This was the watch he wore. This was his inheritance. I am the heritage, but I possess an inheritance. And now my whole family will know I am the one who has it. But think about that, holding in your hands the gifts of the Spirit. Think about our inheritance as the saints of God, as a children, as a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Put out your hand and grab hold tonight. The fruit of the Spirit. Everything good. It says in Philemon, I pray that you achieve the full understanding of everything good we have in Christ. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Come on, what's our inheritance? What do you possess in Christ? Because if we're not holding on to it and we're not using it, we're not utilizing it, this has been in a jewelry box for, I don't know, 18 years? It's not being used. It's my inheritance. It's not being used. It's not being used for the purpose. We have an inheritance. Think about it. The divine nature of God is on the inside of it, us. All the promises of God are for us to be using. We are his heritage, but we have an inheritance. So you are never without a family. Amen? Because you are God's legacy. Amen? And I don't know about you, Harvest Church, but I think God sees this house and this family and says, those are my kids and I'm proud of them. Amen? Amen. So number five here for increased knowledge is of his power. So we looked at increased knowledge of the Lord. That was to get a deeper understanding so that that understanding affects our daily life, right? Amen. Increased knowledge of his will to discern. What is God's will here? And what am I discerning? Do I need a course correction here? Not being judgmental, not being critical, but discerning God's will in a situation. This is what's available to us. This is part of our inheritance. This is the power of the Holy Ghost in us. Amen. Number three was the hope of his calling. We have a hope. We have a certainty that God has invited us into this family to be part of the family of God. And along with that now comes the riches that we have. Amen. 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 And the next one is increased knowledge of his power. Ephesians, if you're in the book of Ephesians still, this is verse 1, 8, and 9. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us. Now, this word power here is the dunamai force. This is miraculous power. This word refers to strength, ability, and power. Yes, this is where we get our word dynamite. So there is a strength, there is an ability, and there is a power coming towards you from God. You just have to say, Lord, I receive your power. See, there's a power coming towards you greater than what's coming against you. There's a power coming towards you right now from God. Lord, I pray that the eyes of our heart are enlightened to know the greatness of his power that's coming towards us because there's something coming against us. But what is coming towards us is always greater than what's coming against us. Right? We have power coming towards us over temptation. Power coming towards us over that sickness that's trying to come against us. Power over hate. Power over generational curses. Power over grief or sorrow. Whatever is trying to come against you, look to what's coming towards you from your Heavenly Father. Because the power that is coming down towards you is greater than what is coming against you. That's why we have to pray these verses. That's why we have to say as Paul, I pray this so that I would understand the power that is coming towards me is greater than any power and surpasses any power that would come against me. Amen. Who just wants to lift your hand and we're going to pray and speak that over you right now in this anointing? Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare this, Lord God, that we would have the eyes of our heart enlightened, that each of us will know, in the name of Jesus, what is the surpassing greatness, Lord God, of your power that is towards us, is greater, Lord God, than any attack that would come against us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for his power in us. His power in us, church, his power in us is greater than anything that would try to come against us. Only God's power can infuse us with enough strength to make us endure a situation with a spirit of joyfulness. How many of you are going through a struggle? Colossians 1, 11 and 12 says, we can be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the display of all patience, steadfastness, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share this again in the inheritance of his light. Part of our inheritance is that we have the ability to joyfully give thanks to him in the midst of trial and test and tribulation. This power in us, a spirit of joyfulness will come on you, gives us understanding, gives us peace, will strengthen and settle us. Sometimes we just need to settle, not settle for what's happening around us. Never. If it's not God, and I would say if it's not beautiful, God's not done yet. So we don't settle for something that's undone. So we're not settling, but we settle our spirit in God. That means no more worry, no more being anxious, no more loss of sleep over a situation. We settle in the fact that God is in control. Amen? That's how we can walk through any circumstance in joy. Hallelujah. So those were the five things of increasing knowledge. Philippians 1:9, we're going to pray for more love. Amen? I pray, Paul says this, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. The New English Translation reads it this way. And I pray this, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge and every kind of insight, so that you can decide what is best and thus be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. If you are struggling in a situation where you feel that you can't be gentle or have a kind word, you're losing your patience, you know that you're being unkind. We don't have to pray for the patience, the kindness, the gentleness. We pray for an increase of love in us, because from that love comes all the fruit of the Spirit. So when we want to be sincere, right? I love the way this says, and thus be sincere, because, you know, we don't want to fake love and we don't want to be phony. We don't want to walk around being phony Christians pretending to love people. And we don't have to be. Because we can pray for an increase and abounding of the love of God. And it's the love of God in our heart that then allows us to answer kindly, to be gentle, to be peaceful, no matter what is taking place around you. So, Lord, increase love in my heart. Who needs this tonight? Because we're going to pray this and declare it in the name of Jesus. Lord, increase love tonight. Increase love in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now according to your word. Lord, we hold you to your word in Philippians 1:9, and we pray that the love in the hearts of your children, Lord, will abound even more and more in the name of Jesus, that they can be sincere in your love, Lord God, towards others. I thank you, Lord. We do not have to run out of patience. We don't have to, Lord God, fight being rude. We don't have to fight that, Lord. We yield to you, and we thank you for an abounding and an increase in love. In the name of Jesus right now. And we thank you, Lord, for that. See, that's how we can treat somebody who has hurt us with kindness. That can we, how we can have tenderness to somebody who may have rejected us or talked bad about us. We don't have to fake it. We don't have to pretend. It's not our love, because there's times we don't have that love. We don't have it, but we have his love in us. And in that love of the Lord, amen. Let's turn real quick to 1 Corinthians 13. And this is our checkpoint. When Nico was in elementary school, I loved getting report cards from the kids. And I knew the checkpoints that I had to check for him. I knew what I didn't even need to bother checking. I would open the report card. And yes, we were still getting paper report cards at that time. I don't know if they do that anymore. Paper report card, I knew exactly where on the paper I needed to look. So let's open up to 1 Corinthians 13, and let's see if we need to ask the Lord to increase and abound in love. And it says, love endures with patience. Love is kind and thoughtful. If we're finding a situation where we're not, we know, okay, Lord, this is the area I need work in. And that's okay. This is discerning the will of God for us, right? It says, love is kind, love is thoughtful, not jealous or envious. Lord, have I been jealous or envious today? Lord, check my heart. This is how we know. We use the word of God as a mirror. Amen. Love does not brag. It is not proud. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. Lord, have I been rude today? If you find yourself being rude, short-tempered, self-seeking, Lord, abound your love in my heart for someone else. Amen. So this is how we use the word. It does not rejoice in injustice. If you find yourself snickering when someone else at work gets in trouble, you're not loving. Love never fails. Love never fades. Right? We look to the word of God. So if we use the word as our checkpoint, as our report card, and do some checks and balances with our hearts, we know, Lord, please increase your love here in my heart. I just want to draw your attention to two words as we close this out. And as you go and have your own devotion time, I want you to look through the books of the Bible that the Apostle Paul wrote. Because he opens and closes the books that he wrote with two words, grace and peace. And if we could speak grace and peace over every situation of people in our life, the supernatural change that will come. You know, so many times we're like, we think, oh, how are they going to get through this? Oh my goodness, I feel so bad for them. That was terrible. Or, oh, they're never going to make it out of this situation, right? How many times? If we speak grace and peace over someone else's life, over our own life, the supernatural will take place. There was a reason Paul opened and closed the books that he wrote with two words, grace and peace. I'm going to give you a quick definition of those words, and then I would encourage you to dive in a little bit deeper on your own, because I have found myself doing that more and more, and it diffuses me. Lord, I walk in your grace and peace today. Lord, there's grace and peace. I'm going to have grace and peace when I get there. There's grace and peace over this situation. Two powerful words that the Apostle Paul spoke, and he was specific to whom and from whom. Who am I speaking peace to right now? Remember, we're being intentional. Lord, I'm speaking grace and peace towards this situation from you, from God, our only source. It says to the church, and then it says from our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can speak grace and peace towards every and any situation to ourselves and receive it from the Lord. Amen? I'm going to give you two quick definitions, and then we're going to close this out. Grace, it says, is an unmerited blessing given to believers in Christ. Affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor, merciful kindness by which God, in his holy influence upon all our souls, to strengthen us, to keep us, to increase us in faith. This is what the word grace means. Affection of God kindles them to exercise their Christian virtues. When we speak grace over someone, that's stirring up their faith. When we speak grace over them, that's saying, Lord, delight in them. Lord, send pleasures their way. Lord, let them walk in your favor today. Speak grace. And the word peace, the dictionary version of the word peace is so full. And then on top of that is what the spiritual meaning is. The one commentary said, the biblical concept of peace is even larger than that. So what you think you know of peace, the biblical version is even larger than what we can imagine. Because it means to be complete, to be sound. Notions of totality and completeness, fulfillment, harmony, security, and well-being. If we could speak grace and peace over situations, change will come. Amen.